in everything, for this pleases the Lord. The Greek term here for obey is an interesting word. Wasn't used up in the earlier verse when it said, wives, submit to your husbands. A lot of people think the wives are called to obey their husbands. The word there was to place yourself under the husband. Here, for children, there's a special word, a special command just for you. And it says, children, obey or listen under. Hoop akuo, listen under, hearken to, hear and respond, hear and obey, submit to. That's the call to children. Of course, from the earliest stages of life, mom and dad teach you, oh no, don't touch that, that's hot. Oh, here is a toy for you to play with. You can play with that right here and now. Here's some food. This is safe to eat. This isn't safe to eat. Parents will instruct you what to do from the earliest stages of life. You need to hear that and obey. It's for your own good. At the earliest stages of your life, you didn't really think about whether you should or should not obey them. But as you grow, pretty soon your spirit, independent from your parents, says, well, no. No, I'm not going to do that, Mommy. And then you find out what the consequences to that are. And this isn't a sermon on consequences. Next week we'll mention that in passing, how parents ought to discipline. But children, your call is to obey. Even as reason opens, says one Puritan author, even as you start to grow and understand things. I know why Mommy's saying that. I know why that makes Dad upset when I tell a lie. Even as your reason understands these things, you have all the more reason to obey. Because your reason should fit with the reality of your parents being over you. It should be consistent with a good conscience. When you hear what your parents ask you to do, when you see their example, you need to obey and follow in that way. To listen and obey. This requires you, children, to do that not only with your hands and feet and with your mouth. If mom says, say thank you, you say thank you. If your parents say, go to your room, or they say it's okay to have a popsicle, you obey. But also in the things that you don't say. If your parents say, calm down and listen, and you go, you're not really saying anything or taking anything or touching anything, but you're not obeying. In your body language, or the old-fashioned word, deportment, in your behavior, in your the way you are, sometimes it can be rolling of the eyes. Oh, those are acts that don't show obedience, that show rebellion. You need to be careful about how you behave. I think for young children here, and we don't have a lot of really young children here, but older brothers and sisters, you can help your brothers and sisters that are younger learn these four things that I try to teach my children. I've shared these with other parents. Four little commands about obedience. Look, listen, answer, obey. I've got a separate sermon on this somewhere. It's in the archive somewhere. But it starts out with look, listen, answer, and obey. First, look, because typically when a parent wants a child to do something, they call out your name. I'll pick a name out of the hat. Andrew's not here this morning. He's at scout camp. Andrew, would you unlock the front door and take the dog for a walk? I use his name. And Andrew has learned look, listen, answer, obey for many years now. And so he will hear his name and he will look. I see it as my dad who is speaking to me. I see he is my parent. I know the word of God. I will obey my parent. There's the look means an acknowledgement of the authority, really. And practically speaking, if we're in the house and mom and dad are in the kitchen and the dog somewhere else but is crying to go out, I may call through the house, Andrew! And he looks, but he doesn't see me. So he will actually take that as a summons and come, responding to the authority so that he can hear and receive the command. I'm making it sound a bit robotic here. But this is the way it plays out. Look, listen, answer, obey. You acknowledge the authority with the look. Then you listen, which is a specific obedience to this very word in the Bible. Children, listen under your parents. Place yourself under their words. And the reason I emphasize that, even to that degree, is because I know, well, maybe boys more than girls, there's a wiggle factor. And sometimes, yeah, Mom, you know, you can't wait to get back out and play tag, or you were just about to have your army man march over against your brother's army man, or your doll was just about to pour tea at the tea party. You're distracted. So after the look comes the listen, and that sometimes is the hardest part. So how do we know if somebody's listening? Moms and dads, how do you know? You can tell, first if they're looking, but then also if they can answer. Look, listen, answer, obey. Yes, Dad, I'll take the dog out now. Yes, Mom, I'll give my brother a popsicle. Yes, Dad, there's an answer, a reply that shows that you've engaged with those words, that you have listened under the authority of your parent. You're hearkening to their words. Look, listen, answer. Are we done? Well, no, there's that all-important last part, obey. Because you want to do what your parents are asking. Sometimes kids in a rush will look, listen, okay, Mom, and they'll run off and quick, what was I supposed to do? What did you want me to do? So you've got to make sure that the obeying stands upon the commands or the requests of the parents, and that the answer indicates understanding. Those are just four helpful steps that you might use to inculcate obedience in the home. It's interesting when we look at the parallel passage to Colossians 3 in Ephesians chapter 6, it's also expressed this way. Ephesians 6, verses 1, 2, and 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with the promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. There it not only says obey, but it says honor. A different word. Which really raises the bar. It means it makes it all the more important, kids, how you respond to your parents. The word honor. It comes not just from Ephesians 6, verse 3 or 2, but it comes from the Old Testament. This is the fifth commandment out of the Ten Commandments of God. The first, speaking about relationships among human beings, the first four commandments being man and God, and the last six about our relationships on the horizontal. And the very first, even before murder, before adultery, before stealing and coveting, the first commandment of that second table of the law, honor your father and your mother. Honor means even more than obey. Honor speaks of a quality where there is reverence, where there is respect given to a parent. A quality of the relationship that you honor them and you esteem them as your parents. It's a wonderful thing to have parents. You understand that you are God's gift to them and they to you. And of course, Ephesians 6 puts it in the proper context as St. Paul reminds us that this is right to do it. It's not only a command from God, it's the right thing to do, to honor and to obey your parents. Another point here under the obey command, kids. We talked about obey and I've added the word honor. But who exactly does this cover? Who exactly do I need to obey? Well, it says your parents. That means Mom and Dad and Mom. But by implication, it also means grandparents to an important degree as they stand above you, aunts and uncles, those who stand alongside or even in the place of your parents are worthy of obedience and respect and honor. The trickle effect, the like ripples in a pond, you know, when you drop a rock in there, you see all those ripples as they go out and on and on. This has implications, children, for many relationships, right into the school teacher and to the others that are in authority. First and foremost, your parents, those to whom God gave you, but also those who stand in their place or stand alongside them in raising you in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let me talk, thirdly, about pleasing the Lord. Children, you are a blessing. Children, you are to obey your parents. Children, you are to please the Lord. Please is a wonderful command or request when you ask for something. But in this sense, boys and girls, it means children, do that which will make God smile, which would bring Him pleasure. Things that will please Him, will make God happy, you might even say. Children, work to do that, to please the Lord. That's the sense here in Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Let's talk about this a little bit. That's the goal, but what about the steps to that goal? What is going to make God pleased? Well, first we should talk about the scope of your obedience. The scope, S-C-O-P-E. It's a neat word. Sometimes you, in a submarine, you look through what? A periscope. It helps you look around. You can see if there are any ships out there before you come out from under the water. What's the scope of your obedience? As you look around, where and when do you have to obey? What's the scope? Do I have to obey all the time or just sometimes? Do I have to obey every place or just certain places? Do I have to obey Mom when we're at the store or just at home? We're going to emphasize that one. Yes, there is a scope to your obedience, and the Bible gives us a clue. So we don't need a periscope. We just look down at the Bible and it says, children, obey your parents in everything. Everything? In all things. Everything. That's a really big word. But it means morning, noon, and night. It means when they're present as well as when they're absent. So babysitters don't mean anarchy or do whatever you want. It still means do what your parents want you to be doing. The scope of this obedience is broad. Everything. Let me ask, using another term, is it absolute? Is there any instance of exception? Is it absolute? Is it completely unbroken? Your parents will understand this and explain it to you, but the Bible says everything, but it doesn't say it to the absolute degree because of this. Some parents do bad things. A parent might say, Billy, let's go rob a bank. Or, Billy, don't tell somebody the truth. Just cover this up. They might ask you to do something that's wrong, that breaks God's word. Some parents do that. Some more than others. Should you obey that? No. The Bible says very clearly, boys and girls, obey God rather than man if the two commands are in conflict. If your dad says rob a bank and God's word says thou shalt not steal, say, Dad, I can't do that. God, whose servant I am, says thou shalt not steal. That is important to remember, that God alone is due absolute obedience. Always obey God. And in everything, obey your parents in the Lord, as Ephesians adds, for this is right. As one old preacher named Stennett said, a child ought to suppose, in the absence of any glaring proof to the contrary, that parents are earnest and sincere. Yet only God deserves absolute obedience. That means, kids, always assume you have to obey your parents. unless you can find in the Scriptures, in God's Word, a reason not to. And if you need help in that, if you're not sure, talk to your parents about that. Talk to a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or someone else you know loves God and the Bible and get their input. This becomes a bit more of a challenge as you go into junior high years or even high school years when your parents want you to do something. If it's not against God's Word, you should obey. Children, obey in everything your parents. The scope of this obedience isn't just when you're a toddler. Scope looks at all these places, all these instances, but scope also looks down the timeline. Well, when I'm 18 years old, I'm independent. I don't have to obey anybody. I'm going to blow this joint. You know, some 18-year-olds talk that way, or 21-year-olds. In fact, there's a parable about that, I think. The prodigal son said, "Dad, I'm out of here. Give me what's mine. I'm gone." And he got in trouble. The scope of your obedience, kids, looks all the way down the timeline. When you're getting older, even when you're college age, and even when you're in your 40s and 50s, and should God give you more years than that, even into your old age, you must still honor your parents. The fifth commandment is a permanent part of God's moral law. Or as Samuel Stennett said, it should be their assiduous concern as children grow to please their parents, even to the latest period of their lives, by conforming their will not only in matters of importance that are just and right, but in matters perfectly indifferent, in matters that do not affect the rights of conscience. If it doesn't make much difference, obey and honor your parents even when you're an adult. If it doesn't violate God's Word, continue to honor them and uphold them. Yes, there are differences that we won't go into at length today. When you are older, when you have your own family, and your mom says, "Oh, I wish you could visit me every Christmas and be here all day." Well, Mom, I know you say that. I want to honor you. You're special. You're my mom. But I have my own family now, and some other contingencies come up. We can talk about what is the way of wisdom to navigate that. But the commandments don't just disappear when you turn 18. Honor your father and your mother is a lifelong calling, even as it changes in its shape and its design. Indeed, a lifelong calling will mean that you love and obey them and support them, and even in practical ways, do for them what they might not be able to do for themselves. And as we age and our children take up that calling, let's make it tolerable for them. As the roles change and all of a sudden the one you used to command and they would obey now has to tell you what to do for your own well-being, thank God that you have someone to care for you. Thank God that you've raised that child, that even then they do that in a respectful way. Well, children, you're supposed to be obeying to please the Lord. Your scope of your obedience is that big, that long. And its goal, what's the end result? Or kids, as we often ask, how do you win the game? Do you ever ask that? I opened up a game called Monopoly once, and I see all this, and I go, wow, how do you win this? And you read the rules. What's the goal? Well, you have to move around the board and do all these other things, but the goal is how to win the game. What's the goal with being a child and being an obeyer and honoring your parents? What's the goal? The goal is to please the Lord. To especially please Him. The way the Greek word here is as the compound, the prefix, intensifying a normal word for pleasing someone. To be especially pleasing to them. Here it is the Lord whom we need to please. We need to look all the way to the horizon, past the smile of your parents when they say, "Oh, you're such a good obeyer, you're such a good helper." That's neat. But even beyond your parents, kids, we need to look to God who smiles as we obey His Word, as we obey the parents to whom He's given us. The Bible says to all men and women and boys and girls. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Even the obeying of your parents. It's interesting, this word translated well-pleasing, the intensified pleasing of the Lord, is also found in Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21, a benediction we'll use later today. In fact, this also comes up in the Sunday school lesson. Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21 says this, "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." As the apostle finishes that letter to the Hebrews, he says, don't forget, God's going to equip you, and I pray He does, so that you can do that which is pleasing in His sight. Boys and girls, do you understand this? Colossians, the verse for today, tells you to do things so that God is pleased. But Hebrews 13:21 says, all Christians should strive to do that which pleases God. The same verb, well-pleasing, in His sight. So really, what's the goal of this? Is not just to be a good child and honor your parents and make God smile, but to live your whole life as a good Christian, to make your heavenly Father well pleased. Let me be very brief on the next point. If you have the sermon outline, you see the next point speaks of the reward of your obedience. The scope, the goal, and then the reward of your obedience. That commandment, number 5 from the 10 commandments, that honor your father and your mother, that it may go well for you or with you in the land you come to possess. The Old Testament worded that commandment in terms of the promised land. It's interesting in Ephesians 6 when Paul writes in the New Testament with the Holy Spirit filling his mind and his pen. The word there says this, honor your father and mother, Ephesians 6:2. This is the first commandment with the promise, that it may go well with you, verse 3, that you may live long in the land. Doesn't just refer to the promised land, but live long, and the Greek word here is for earth. Because Paul understands, and God helps him to understand, that the command is going out not only to Jewish people who are going to the promised land to live, but it's going to all people who dwell on the earth, who live for that heavenly inheritance. For Jew and Gentile should honor and obey their parents that it may go well with them on the earth. The reward for your obedience is the blessing of God all your days. Some take this as literally to mean that you will live longer than if you're a disobeyer. And that makes some common sense, because if mom and dad say, don't play in the street, you might get hit by a car, and you disobey, I'm not trying to be scary, but if you disobey and play in the street, you might not live very long. So the very natural, common sense point of view is, yes, if you obey your parents, you're going to avoid those dangers and pitfalls that might take you out of this world or hurt you. So yes, it seems to have that trajectory. You will live a long life, a life blessed of God. I want to call your attention to it, not to explain all the contingencies of the promise, but just to remind you, God loves to reward our obedience. He is mindful, boys and girls, of what a big command, what a big job it is. And I know you love to have your parents' affirmation and reward. Hey, that was great. Thanks. How much more should we want God's reward? He's promised us one as children if we honor our parents. Now let me take you briefly through some lessons and applications. As you see from the outline, we have 5, so we'll begin them right away. Number one, God is your heavenly Father. The command in Colossians is, children, obey your parents, your earthly mom and dad. But I remind you that you're a gift to them from God. And Lord, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we should think of in terms of being a father in heaven. And that will help you. Boys and girls, if you want to understand more about God, think of Him as the perfect Father. Most of us who are believers ask the question, how can I serve and love and please God? Children should be asking that too. And one of the best ways is to obey your parents, because your parents are the authority immediately over you. And as you learn to obey them and honor them and respect them and revere them, so too do children grow up to honor and revere and respect their heavenly Father, the Lord. Parents, we have such big shoes to fill. In the eyes of these children, we're that authority that can bless or punish. What we do with them teaches them so much. There'll be more on parenthood next week. Application number two, children. Talking to you again. Tune in. Listening. Children, you should worship and be under the Word. Two important terms there. You should worship, children, and you should be under the Word. Meaning you should be taught it, and when you can read, you should read it. And say, I want to know what my God commands. Read it for yourself. I say first you should worship. This church welcomes children in our services so that they learn to worship God, sitting next to mom and dad as soon as they're able to kind of sit still for that hour. And that's a young age. Some churches do something called children's church. I don't know who the children's church preachers are all the time, and don't want to debate that publicly, but we don't do that. It's interesting to me, if Paul writes this letter, sends it to Colossians, and they read it in the church, all of a sudden the one reading out this epistle says, children, they're all in children's church? No, they're all there listening. It seems to me implied that children were a part of that corporate time of worship, or at least children of an age that they could listen and respond, not infants. Children, you should be in worship services like this. This isn't just for mom and dad and you have to sit here like when mom goes to the store and it's kind of boring. This is your opportunity to worship your God alongside mom and dad. You should worship and you should be under God's Word. Psalm 119 has a couple of precious verses for how we should relate to God's Word. It asks the question, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to thy word. It also says in those first paragraphs, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Children, you need to be under God's word and have God's word in you. Ask your parents what Paul said to Timothy about how the scriptures were used in his young life. From a child, from his days of infancy, how Timothy knew the scriptures which were able to bring him unto salvation. The Bible, God's Word, is for you, children. Ask your parents to share it with you, to teach it to you, to help you understand it. I was thrilled. One of my boys, came to me the other day after he was reading his quiet time and he was in Malachi and said, what does this mean? I always thought this. What does this mean? I was thrilled. It made my day to be able to explain something to him from the Scriptures that taught him more about God. You should worship and be under the Word. Application number three. Children, you please God as you honor and obey. Your obedience for mom and dad isn't just so you don't get punished. It isn't just because they're making you do it, but it's your way of worshiping and pleasing God. It should become a delight to you. We know that in the world, in the latter days, children will be disobeyers of their parents. My friends, that verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3 really describes our present status quo, does it not? Where children are so autonomous now in schools as well as in families. We know it's hard for children to obey, but we must always put it in a greater context. Serve God as you obey your parents. Number four, children, you sin when you disobey and rebel. If you disobey, it's not the same as a mistake. If you've had math class and you make a mistake with your numbers, that's a mistake. But when you disobey mom and dad, that's a sin. And you should know a little bit about sins, because sins are why people will not be with God in heaven. If they have sin, that they have to pay for. They go to a place of punishment. If you are rebellious, that means you don't want the government to be over you. You don't want your parents to tell you what to do. Oh, I'm going to run away. I'm going to do this and that. That's rebellion, and the Bible hates that. And that too is sin. You need not to disobey and not to rebel. And there are different ways that's done, whether it's just with stomping your feet, with rolling your eyes. Those are the smallest versions of disobeying and rebelling. I don't want to do this. I may not do this. I'm thinking about it. But it can also get worse when you disregard what your parent says. Oh, my mom's not here. She'll never know. That's rebellion. Because you know what your mom wants. And the scope of your obedience is even when your mom and dad are not present. When you disregard their commands or teaching. Or worse, when you publicly disgrace your parents and dishonor them. Oh yeah, my mom just watches soap operas all day. She's really lazy. If you were to say that to your friends, you've broken a commandment of God. Even if it's true, you dishonor your mom and dad. Pray for your mom and dad. If you're really concerned about something they're doing, instead of just telling others how imperfect they are, and to be honest, mom and dad are imperfect. We're not perfect parents. But don't dishonor mom and dad. Talk to your Heavenly Father if you have questions. See your pastor or Sunday school teacher in a respectful way. Get help for mom and dad. You might want to look up the story of King David's son Absalom. Absalom, the son who rebelled. It was not a happy story. And it broke David's heart. And parents, you'll know more about this next week, but discipline is a sign of love. And it's a present help to your child to do what they need to do. If they grow up and live in rebellion to you, how are they ever going to submit to God? Parents, don't give up. When they start to disobey and rebel, help them. The final point. Children, I hope you hear this as much as anything we've said. You have grace and help in Jesus Christ. Kids, I know it's tough to obey. Sometimes you don't do well and you get punished. And in life, I want you to know, God who calls you to these things will help you. There is grace from God to help you. In Jesus Christ. Remember I mentioned the song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus does love you. He cares. God cares, boys and girls. When you are weak, He is strong. And someday we'll make motions to the song. So when it's hard to obey, when it's hard to honor your parents, even when other kids aren't doing it, when you're weak, Jesus is strong, and He will help you. He will wash away your sins when you sin. He will stay close beside you all the way. And if things are rough at home and it's such a hard thing, remember that He's prepared a home for you. And someday His face you'll see. For the Bible tells me so and tells you. There is grace and help for every child who trusts Jesus and asks for help. Let's remember that most of all as you obey God's word. Let's pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we do thank You for sending children into the life of this church and to the families here. May we welcome them as precious gifts from You. May we be faithful in teaching them the things that it says in God's word they need to know. May we introduce them to You as their Father in heaven. Oh, help us with the task. Help each child here, Lord, to pray and trust You as best they can. And may they find that Jesus is a great helper, a Savior, a friend. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.